The whole subject of Yom Tov Sheni, when you have somebody from Eretz Yisrael who comes to the United States, or somebody from America who goes to Eretz Yisrael, and the question of what to do in both directions. It's a different question in both directions, but there are a number of important issues that we need to think about. Number one, when I go to the opposite, I don't know what you call it, the opposite gender, when I go to the opposite location, am I supposed to behave the way they do, or am I supposed to do what I originally was supposed to do from my origin, from the location where I actually live? That's question number one we have to talk about. Question number two is, let's say I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I'm keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, which we're going to have to discuss in a moment. If that's what I'm doing, would I be allowed to go to someone who is an Israeli, a legitimate Israeli, and say to them, look, I'm keeping Yom Tov today, for me it's Yom Tov Sheni, would you be able to turn the lights on for me? Am I allowed to instruct somebody who is not observing Yom Tov to do the melacha for me? Question number three, let's say I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I am of the opinion that I should only keep 1 day of Yom Tov. There are legitimate opinions who say that. There are many people who do that. Big machlokas, as we'll see in a few minutes. Let's say that is what I'm doing. Would I be allowed to fly home back to America on Yom Tov Sheni? I don't want to miss another day of work. I don't want to have to wait till after Yom Tov is over and then fly back after Yom Tov and miss a whole day or potentially 2 days because maybe it's Shabbos right after, whatever it's going to be. It will certainly make my life easier if I fly home on Yom Tov Sheni. Would I be allowed to do that? And if so, is there a way that I'm supposed to do that? Those are the questions that I would like to discuss. We don't have that much time, so maybe you'll hold off on your question and we'll get it later. We begin with a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim on Daf Nun, where the Mishnah goes through a whole list of different minhagim that certain communities have and other communities do not have. And the Mishnah says, well, what happens when you have a clash? What happens when I have a community where I grew up that has this minhag, and now I get married, or I move locations, and I'm now finding myself in a new place, which has very different minhagim. So what do I do then? The Gemara says, I should always do kiminhag hamakom. I should always do like the minhag of the location where I live. Va'al yishana adam mipnei hamachlokis. I should not do differently than other people in the neighborhood, because it will cause dispute. It will cause distance between myself and the rest of the community. And therefore, the Gemara advises that we should always make sure to follow the minhag hamakom. Now, how far does that go? It's a good question. Let's say I move to a community where everybody's from German descent and they only wait 3 hours, but my family waits 6 hours. That's not called being mishana miminhag hamakom. That is my personal custom that happens in my house. No one's going to be uncomfortable about the fact that I'm doing that. Or if I have a chumrah on Shabbos that I choose not to use the Erev, that's not called being mishana pnei machlokas. Everybody uses the Erev. I have a right to be machmir. What the Gemara here is talking about is, let's say if you have whatever, it doesn't matter. But the Gemara basically says the rule is whenever I have a certain custom in a community, I should follow that custom. For example, writes the Gemara, let's say I'm in a community where they're keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, and I happen to come from a place where they only keep 1 day of Yom Tov. So for example, I'm from Eretz Yisrael, and now I come to the United States where they all keep 2 days of Yom Tov, and for whatever reason I happen to be here instead of being at home in Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, I have to make sure that I don't do anything on the second day of Yom Tov, because I'm in a community where no one's doing anything on the second day of Yom Tov. What's it going to look like when nobody's driving, nobody's handling their phones, nobody's on their computers, and I'm walking up and down the streets, driving my car with my phone out, I have my computer, I have my iPad? What would that look like? Says the Gemara, that would be very uncomfortable, and therefore you would not be allowed to do it. With one caveat, if you're from Eretz Yisrael and now you happen to be in Chutz Laaretz, if you are betoch ha'yishuv, if you're within the confines of the Jewish community, then you are restricted, you are limited to do what the Jewish community does. However, if you are bamidbar, let's say I come to the United States and I have to be in a hospital. I have a family member in a hospital somewhere and there is no Jewish community anywhere around me, and I'm really a Ben Eretz Yisrael, and for Yom Tov, I'm not going to be anywhere within the tchum of a Jewish community. In that case, says the Gemara, I'm allowed to observe 1 day of Yom Tov. Why? Because I'm not being mishana miminhag hamakom. There is no makom. There is no minhag here. I'm not part of the community. I'm not together with anybody else. And therefore, there would be no problem for me to do malacha in that circumstance. Writes the Shulchan Aruch. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shabao L'Chutz Laaretz. If you have Jews from Eretz Yisrael who normally only keep 1 day of Yom Tov, and now they come to Chutz Laaretz where we keep 2 days, says the Gemara, they are not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni if they find themselves within the confines of the Jewish community on Yom Tov Sheni. However, what the Shulchan Aruch here does not say is what kind of malacha are they not allowed to do. Shulchan Aruch just says they can't do malacha. What about malacha bitzina? which means once nobody else is around and I'm in the privacy of my own home. So it's true, I'm in a Jewish community here in Chutz La'aretz, but I'm in my own room. Nobody's looking into the windows of my room. Would I be allowed to use my phone or my computer in my room, or would you say no? Once I'm in Chutz La'aretz, I have to observe Yom Tov Sheni like everybody else, and I'm not allowed to distinguish myself from them, even if it is Bitzina, even if it's in the privacy of my own home where nobody else is going to be. That is a major dispute among the Rishonim. Tosis famously writes in Maseches Pesachim that even Dvar Moshe Bitzina would not be permissible, because once you come to a place where they keep 2 days of Yom Tov, you have to observe 2 days of Yom Tov just like them, and you would not be allowed to do Malacha. There are a number of great Rishonim who disagree. Great Rishonim means the Ran, the Rush, the Rambam. Those are major, major Rishonim who disagree. And very surprisingly, even though the Rambam and the Rush and the Ran all disagree with the Balei HaTosis, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah, and the Magen Avraham, all the classical poskim give their unequivocal opinion, which is that you are not allowed to do Malacha, even Bitzina, when you are in Chutz La'aretz, even if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even if you're behind closed doors, even if you think nobody's watching. It would not be something that would be permissible. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Are you allowed to take a shower, a hot shower, on Yom Tov Sheni if you are a Ben Eretz Yisrael who happens to be in America? So Rav Moshe says, probably in terms of the shower, it would be permissible. Why? Because there are permissible ways for somebody who's observing Yom Tov to take a shower himself. So nobody automatically knows that you're doing anything wrong. When you go in the shower, maybe you're doing it the right way. Maybe you're taking a cold shower. Maybe you're doing what the Gemara says, Aver Aver, which means you're only bathing one part of your body at a time, which is permissible on Yom Tov. So the Gemara, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, there are certain things that you may be allowed to do, but in general, he says, this would be something that we should certainly be careful about. The Mishneh Berurah, as I said, is Machmir, and he says, like the Balei HaTosis, that when the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do Malacha in Chutz La'aretz, it means even Bitzina, even in the privacy of your own home, it would not be permissible. Now, I found a very interesting comment last night, actually, of Reb Nevensal and his comments on the Mishneh Berurah, where he says, yes, maybe that was back then when it was so unusual for people to travel to different communities, and if you were going to do something different than everyone else, people would say, wow, why is this person acting differently? Why is he sticking out? Why isn't he following the protocol? But now, says Reb Nevensal, everybody knows there are always people flying back and forth from America to Eretz Israel and vice versa, and it wouldn't even make you feel uncomfortable. If you saw somebody doing malacha here on Yom Tov Sheni, what would you say? Your conclusion would be, not that this person is not a religious person, but rather, this person must be from Israel, even if I don't know them. Right? You see somebody walking down the street with a yarmulke and tzitzis and Yom Tov Sheni on their phone, you would understand either the person is a doctor, and therefore it's pikuach nefesh, or you would say the person is from Eretz Israel and they're visiting here. And nobody says... Reb Nevensal, he thinks that it's a very different ball game today when we deal with the situation that we're in, where people are traveling all the time. He suggests that maybe this would not be a problem. Again, that's a tremendous chiddush. I don't know if that is accepted. My father definitely does not agree with that. He says we should follow the psak of the Mishneh Berurah, which is that even today, when we have people traveling back and forth, we have to be careful. If you find yourself, a Ben Eretz Yisrael who finds themselves in Chutz La'aretz is not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni here, even Bitzina. And my father likes to tell the story that there was once an individual who came. He was a big Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael who came to America, and he had an apartment in the same building as my parents. And there was somebody, 2 years after this Talmud Chacham went back to Israel, there was somebody in the building who came to my father and said, remember that rabbi who was here? How come he wasn't careful about Shabbos? Like, what's the deal with him? So my father said, what do you mean? Like, of course he was. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He said, no, I saw the lights were always going on and off in his house on Shabbos. And my father said, how can it be? There's no way. So my father said, maybe it was Yom Tov Sheni, and you saw the lights going on and off, not on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you saw it on Yom Tov Sheni, and he doesn't observe Yom Tov Sheni. So my father said, even when you're in the privacy of your own home and you think nobody's watching, but the lights are going on and off, you have to be careful. You never know who on the other side of the building is going to notice the malacha that you're doing. So I asked my father yesterday, what about using my phone? Using my phone, nobody's going to know. Right? If I'm in my room, it's not like the phone is going to light up the whole room. No one's going to see. I'm under the blankets. Nobody sees. So my father had a chiddush where he said using the phone, he still thinks is a problem. I was tremendously amazed that he knew that if somebody looks on, he thought it was text messaging, but it's WhatsApp, they can see when the last time you were on. I was like, what? I know. But I was like, Daddy, wow, that's very impressive that he knew that. So My father said, people are going to look at your phone later and they'll see you were doing that. So he said, he thinks that we should not be doing any malacha on Yom Tov Sheni, even if it means being on your phone in the privacy of your own home. It's still not something that should be done. Now, what about going in the opposite direction, which is relevant for many of us here? Sometimes we, as B'nai Chutz La'aretz, travel to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, and the question then becomes, what do we do? That is a very famous dispute among the Gedolei Achronim. What exactly are we supposed to do? Now, why is a dispute among the Achronim? Why is it not a dispute in the Rishonim? You know why? It wasn't a possibility. If you lived in Spain in the days of the Rishonim, there was no way you were going back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. It was like a once in a lifetime. Either you lived in Chutz La'aretz or you moved to Eretz Yisrael like the Ramban and you stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Once you move to Eretz Yisrael, you're a Tosha of Eretz Yisrael and you keep one day of Yom Tov. Now, Rabbi Yosef Karo said that there were people who used to be Ola Regel in his generation, in the 1500s. Jews who lived outside of Eretz Yisrael used to come for Yom Tov. And what did they do? So the Beis Yosef writes in his Sefer Avkas Rochel, which is a very unpopular Sefer of the Beis Yosef that nobody learns. But in there he writes that the practice was when people came to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, they used to observe 2 days of Yom Tov. That is what he writes in the 1500s. About 200 years later, the Chidah was one of the great Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chidah writes in the 1700s that he had seen the same practice. He had seen that people who came to visit Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov used to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. About 100 years after him, along came the Pa'asa Shulchan, who was one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, who moved to Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. And he writes in his Sefer that people are supposed to keep 2 days of Yom Tov when they come to Eretz Yisrael, because after all, you are only visiting. You're a ben chutz la'aretz. You happen to come for Yom Tov. That doesn't change your status. And therefore, we're going to keep things as they are, and you're going to stick to the way you're supposed to observe Yom Tov. That is the opinion of three of the great poskim. Number one, the Beis Yosef. Number two, the Chidah. And number three, the Pa'as HaShulchan. It is, however, very well known that there is a different opinion, and that is of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi lived in the 1600s. And the Chacham Tzvi writes that he believes if you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to observe 1 day of Yom Tov like the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to observe 2 days, he says, that would be Baal Tosif. You're not allowed to add on. Right now, you find yourself in a location where everybody's keeping 1 day. If everyone's keeping 1 day, you also have to keep 1 day. There is a somewhat unusual opinion of Rav Avadi Yosef. He has a long tshuva about this in the Echavidas, where he writes, there's a difference between somebody who's single and somebody who's married. If you're married and you have a house in America and then you happen to go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, there's no chance in the world, I mean, there's a remote possibility, but there's no chance in the world for most regular people who are traveling for Yom Tov that you're actually going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. But let's say you're single and you go to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot or for Pesach and then you meet a nice boy there. So, worst comes to worst. If you like the boy enough and he says, you know, I insist that we're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, we're not leaving. If you love him enough, you're going to stay, says Rav Avadia. Therefore, if you're single, maybe it's different than if you're married. That's a very unusual, interesting opinion. If you happen to be a Sfardi, you should be aware of that. But that is not generally the accepted opinion. So here we have a basic two opinions which say, on the one hand, you should keep 2 days, like the Beis Yosef says, because you are a ben chutz la'aretz. On the other hand, you have the Chacham Tzvi, who says it would make more sense to observe 1 day, like the people in Eretz Yisrael. The popular opinion for all the years has always been that you observe 2 days of Yom Tov. If you're visiting Eretz Yisrael, you are considered a ben chutz la'aretz and you observe 2 days of Yom Tov. Of course, the other opinion is legitimate. The Chacham Tzvi was one of the major poskim. He's not a lightweight. He's a real opinion in the poskim, but that was generally not the accepted opinion. The Mishneh Berurah himself says unequivocally, you have to observe 2 days of Yom Tov if you are visiting Eretz Yisrael, and there's no two ways about it. That's what he says. In recent years, for some reason, the tide seems to have shifted in the other direction, and many people follow the Chacham Tzvi. I'm not exactly sure why, but many people do, against the advice of the Mishneh Berurah and many of the other great poskim, but whatever. As I said, both of these are very legitimate opinions. My father happens to have a different opinion, which is we should be machmir in both directions. So he feels you should keep 2.5 days of Yom Tov. What does that mean? Not just 2 days, you should keep extra. So how do you keep 2.5 days of Yom Tov? It means you should follow the opinion of the Beis Yosef, which says that you're a ben chutz la'aretz, and therefore you're obligated to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. But you should also be choshesh for the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, which means you should listen to someone else make havdalah after the first night of Yom Tov, in order that just in case it's not Yom Tov, you cover that. And you should put on tefillin on the second day of Yom Tov, just in case it's not Yom Tov anymore. So this way you cover all the different opinions and you don't make any mistakes. That's what he feels, and that's what he does when he goes to Eretz Yisrael. But again, this is a very important issue, and anyone who has this question needs to ask somebody who they trust to get guidance on what it is that they should do. The question then becomes, let's say I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I'm following the psak of the Mishneh Berurah, which follows the psak of Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Chidah and the Paas HaShulchan, that you keep 2 days of Yom Tov. What do we do about davening? What do we do about having minyanim? So I'm going to observe Yom Tov, which means I should daven Yom Tov Tefillah, because for me it's Yom Tov, it's not weekday. So am I supposed to have big American minyanim in the middle of Yerushalayim when Yerushalayim proper is not observing Yom Tov anymore? Now I'm going to come with my whole group that's here staying in the Inbal, and we're going to have our own minyan. It seems very strange. So the Mishneh Berurah says that he feels you should daven the Yom Tov Tefillah Bitzina in your own house. That's what the Mishneh Berurah says. And he says, that's called being Mishana Mipnei HaMachlokas. Every other shul that you go to in Rechavia, in Talbia, in Yerushalayim, all over the place, everywhere you go, they're going to be davening weekday Shemona Esrei. All of a sudden, we come to your shul, you have, everybody's wearing, you know, Yantav clothing, everybody is davening a different Nusach HaTfilah, everyone's davening a Yantav Tfilah, and you happen to be laning on a day when we're not supposed to be laning. It seems very strange, and therefore the Mishneh Berurah says, that would be differentiating yourself from the rest of Yerushalayim, which would certainly not be appropriate. That's what he says. However, the Beis Yosef writes that in his generation, that is not what everybody followed. In his generation, in the 1500s, even those who came to Eretz Yisrael to visit for Yom Tov used to make public minyanim, and he says that doesn't cause a machlokas. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, good for you. Go to your regular shul, your regular shtibel that you daven in, and that's fine. Nobody asked you to come to the Inbal. If you come to the Inbal and you see they're in the middle of laning, you're going to say to yourself, oh, this must be the Americans who came to visit. This is not going to make a machlokas. What does the Gemara mean when it says you should always follow the Minhag HaMakom? That means if by not following Minhag HaMakom, you're going to cause a rift in the community. But this is not causing a rift. You're davening. Everyone should daven wherever they daven, and that's fine. And therefore, the Beis Yosef is of the opinion that there's no problem. What becomes very unclear and somewhat complicated to define is, when is someone going to be defined or classified, categorized as a Ben Eretz Yisrael, and when are they classified as a Ben Chutz Laretz? It's not always so simple. It's not always so simple. We just gave an example of somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael or somebody who lives in Chutz Laretz and goes to visit once in a while for Yom Tov. But now we have a much more complicated system where you have people who live in Chutz Laretz but who own apartments in Israel or who own businesses in Israel and fly back and forth all the time. So how do you classify them? How do you categorize them? That's what's become much more complicated today than it ever was. It used to be somebody went to visit Eretz Yisrael once in a blue moon. It was like an unusual shaila. But here, we have people going back and forth who own property in both places, who own businesses in both places. That is a big question. So to that, we have to actually analyze a little bit further. We have a tshuva of the Maharit Tzahalon. That was someone by the name of Rabbi Yomtev Tzahalon. You probably never heard of him. He was a Talmud of the Alshech. The Alshech was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. So this was in the 1500s. The Maharit Tzahalon got a very strange shaila. Here was a shaila. Nobody should learn from this shaila because it's not relevant to us. But the shaila was, there was a man who was married to two different wives, which in itself is a problem. How do you keep up with two wives? Most people can't keep up making one wife happy, right? So he was married to two wives. To make things even more complicated, one wife lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the other wife lived in Chutz Laretz. So how are you going to work that out? No problem. He had a system. Here's the system. 1 year he's with this wife, and the next year he's in Chutz Laretz with the other wife. That's the arrangement that he had. And somehow everybody was happy. I don't know. Or not. Doesn't say whether they had Shalom Bayis, or maybe he was a horrible husband, and that was a good shalom bayis for him to be away for a year. I don't know. But the Maharit Tatz, the Maharit Tzahalon, writes this question, and he wonders, what does this man do about Yom Tov? Right? 1 year, he's going to spend the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Next year, he's going to spend Pesach Shavuot Sukkos in Chutz Laretz because he's going to be with his other wife. And he keeps flipping back and forth. So what does he do? Isn't that an interesting shaila? It's fascinating. It's amazing. So the Maharit Tzahalon writes that the answer is we cannot really know who you are because you really have two different places that you call home and that you legitimately call home. I have a wife here with children here and I have a wife over there with children there. So you can't say this is more my house than that one, and therefore he comes to the conclusion you have two houses. And therefore when you're in Eretz Yisrael you keep 1 day of Yom Tov. On the years that you're in Chutz Laretz, you keep 2 days of Yom Tov. That's what he writes. Which means he introduces us to the possibility of a person who can actually have two locations. I can be a ben chutz la'aretz when I'm in chutz la'aretz. I can be considered a ben Eretz Yisrael when I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Fascinating. And he introduces us to this concept of somebody's status that changes depending on where they happen to be. There is a discussion, the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes was one of the Ger Rebbes. He was thinking about coming to Eretz Yisrael for a few months a year, and he sent a shaila to the Gedolim in Yerushalayim to ask them what he was supposed to do when he came to Eretz Yisrael, and it overlapped, it coincided with a Yom Tov. How should he observe Yom Tov? Should he be like a Ben Eretz Yisrael, even though he plans to go back for the other half of the year? Let's say he was on semi-retirement. I don't know exactly what the arrangement was, but he was going to be there for a little bit, and then he was going to leave. So what was he supposed to do? So that was the question that the Imre Emes sent to the Gedolim of Yerushalayim. And the conclusion that they wrote to him was, if you live in Yerushalayim for 6 months at a time, then you can consider yourself a Ben Eretz, not Yerushalayim. If you live in Eretz Yisrael for 6 months at a time, then you're considered to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. If you're there for less than 6 months, then you're a Ben Chutz La'aretz and you're only considered to be visiting. How did they come up with that strange idea? What is 6 months? Why should that be the case? So you say, oh, 6 months is a half a year. So what? Why should 6 months determine? So here's where it comes from. The Rama in Yerideya has a very interesting comment. We have all kinds of people in our communities, and there are some people who like to take nedarim. I promise I'm going to do that. I promise I'm not going to do this. I will do this. I won't do that. Now, some people take upon themselves not just all kinds of promises, but all kinds of strange promises. So the Gemara says, somebody gets very angry at something that happens in the community, and they say, I promise that I will never get benefit from anyone in the city. You're all evil. Everyone's terrible. I will never get benefit from anyone in the city. So what does that mean? It means the next week when somebody drops off flowers for Shabbos to his house, he's not allowed to accept it. And when somebody comes after his wife has a baby and gives them a gift card, you're not allowed to take it. Why? Because everyone in the city is evil. And you said, I promise I'm never going to get benefit. What happens if you have someone who just moved into town from Memphis, right? Moves to New York. So the Memphis person is obviously not as evil as the person from New York. Of course not. So what do you do? For all those listening online, I'm just giving live examples from the people in the room. Don't worry. Kulam tzaddikim. Everyone's wonderful. So the question is, if somebody moves from Memphis to New York, at what point do we say you're part of the evil New York people that I've made a nether, I'm never going to get hana from them? Where's the cutoff? Says the Gemara, if you're there for 6 months, then we say you're already a New Yorker. If you're here for less than 6 months, then we say, no, you're really from Memphis, and you just happen to be here for a little bit, you're visiting. But that really is not what determines your status as being a Ben Ear in terms of getting Hana from a person who you made a nether not to get Hana from. From there, the Gedolim of Yerushalayim said, you see that if you're in a place for 6 months, you then become a member of that community. Right? That's what it says there. So that maybe we can transfer that logic to this question as well. The Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, when he wanted to move semi-retirement to Yerushalayim, and he had the question, what's he supposed to do? So how do we determine? Let's figure out. Are you going to be here for 6 months? Then we could say you're considered a Ben Ir. If you're not here for 6 months, then we say you're considered a Ben Chutz La'aretz. That's the conclusion that they wanted to come to. Rav Asher Weiss has told me that he finds that to be very difficult. The whole reason why there we determine it based on 6 months is because B'nedarim haloch achar lashon b'nei adam. When we talk about a neder, we try to figure out what did the person mean when they made this promise, when they made this vow. What did you have in mind? That's what matters. That's what determines the purview of your promise. So what the Shulchan Aruch is describing there is, what do most people think when I say, all the people in my city are X or Y? They mean all the permanent residents of my city are X or Y. And if somebody's here for 6 months, I meant to include that person. If somebody's here for less, I didn't mean. But you can't bring a proof from the story by Nedarim, and you can't transplant that logic to a different story here by Yom Tov Sheni, and whether Eretz Yisrael is going to be your dwelling place with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, that's not relevant to our case. Perhaps that's a very different logic. So I found Rav Asher Weiss's approach to be extremely reasonable. And he said, the truth is, you really need to think about a number of different factors that come to play in determining where someone's residence really is. And what's the litmus test? He said there are a few things that you need to take into account. Number one, if when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you stay in a hotel and you don't have your own house, you don't have your own apartment, it doesn't mean you own it, but meaning if I have an apartment that's on a long-term lease, it doesn't have to belong to me, but this is my home. If you don't have that, either a home that you own or a home that's designated for you that you go to all the time, that you're renting or that you bought, then you can't consider yourself to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. That's off the table. That's number one. Number two, he says, if let's say I have young children who are still of school age, which requires me, not college age, but grade school, which requires me to be in America. It doesn't matter how many times a year you come to Eretz Yisrael, the fact that your children are still enlisted in a school in America, that means you are an American. You can't just pick up and go to Eretz Yisrael because you're bound by your children to the school. And even if I go for Shalosh Regalim, he argues, it doesn't make a difference. You're not defined as a Ben Eretz Yisrael when your kids are still in school in Chutz La'aretz, and that is going to ultimately push you to always be there. So that was factor number two that he says has to be taken into account. Factor number three, he said, it used to be we could determine something based on where your business is, but today that's not so much of a determining factor because people can have online businesses, they can live wherever they want, and they can have all kinds of different ways that they can make money in different countries, even if they may not live there. So his opinion is you have to take a number of things into account and figure out in a conglomerate of factors whether you're actually considered to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael or a Ben Chutz La'aretz based on all of those different pieces and whether or not they fit. He does mention that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was of the opinion that if you're in Eretz Yisrael for Shalosh Regalim, then we consider you to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. If you're there for less than Shalosh Regalim, then you're not considered to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Again, that's the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Asher Weiss has his own opinion, and there's a lot to think about. If you're going to be one of those individuals who will be traveling to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to figure out, number one, if I'm only visiting Eretz Yisrael, do I follow the opinion of the Beis Yosef or the Chacham Tzvi? Should I be observing 2 days of Yom Tov or 1 day of Yom Tov? If I'm going to be observing 2 days of Yom Tov, which is the major consensus opinion and what the Mishnah Berurah writes as well, if you're going to be observing 2 days of Yom Tov, you then have to ask yourself a further question, at what point would my status change? When I buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, when I go for Shalosh Regalim in Eretz Yisrael, when my kids are no longer of age and I have to be back in America, when I have a business there, all of those questions are things that have to be considered, but this is a very important topic to discuss about this issue. But let me just conclude with this final thing, and that is, if I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I'm following the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, which as we said is a legitimate opinion, Chacham Tzvi said that you only keep 1 day of Yom Tov when you go to Eretz Yisrael because you should not be different than any of the people there. And if everyone's observing 1 day, you also should observe 1 day. If you're following the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi because that is what your answer was given to you by whoever you asked, if that's what you're going to do, the further question is, would I be allowed to take a flight on Yom Tov Sheni and come to Chutz La'aretz or not? Technically, the answer is yes, you would be allowed to do that. However, the problem is as follows. What do you do when you land here? What do you do when you land here back in America? So, the problem is, when you land, let's say in JFK, JFK is not considered within the tchum of the yishuv of the Jews, even though it's not far from the Five Towns community, but it is far. It's outside of the tchum. There are no Jews around JFK who live there. And therefore, if you land in JFK on Yom Tov Sheni, when it's still Yom Tov Sheni here, you would have to stay in the airport for the duration of Yom Tov until Yom Tov is over. You would not be allowed to take a taxi to your house, which is then going to bring you into the Yishuv HaYisraeli, into the Jewish community. If you come back into the Jewish community, you're not allowed to do malacha, which means you're not allowed to be in the car. So you wouldn't be allowed to leave the airport. You would have to stay outside of the Tchum until after Shabbos is over, and then you would be able to then come in, and after Yom Tov is over, you'd be allowed to come in. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, and that seems to be what makes a lot of sense based on the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a Ben Eretz Yisrael who's in Chutz La'aretz, he's not allowed to do malacha, even b'tzina. You're not allowed to do malacha when you're in the context of the Jewish community, but if you're outside of the Yishuv, if you're Bamidbar, if let's say you're in a hospital that's somewhere way out away from the Jewish community and you are legitimately a Ben Eretz Yisrael, then you'd be allowed to observe 1 day of Yom Tov and you wouldn't have to worry about malacha. Question?